Let's get into the Word this evening. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 46. Mark spoke last week, did a great job and covering for me, and I've heard good reports from that word. And I heard the reports of the confirmation with the word from Sunday, and so I thank him for doing that and sharing the word. Tonight we're going to go back into our series that we've been on now for a number of weeks on our go, as we were fleshing out our go. We've just kind of called this Let's Go. And we have been walking through the four aspects of the go, that we are to go after God. That's our passion and pursuit. We are to go for Christ in representation. Everything we do in our world, in our day, in our lives is representing Christ. We have his authority, his dominion, and his ability, his name. And then last time I shared with you, we started into the third aspect of the go, which is to go through the Spirit. So not only do we go for Christ, but we go through the Spirit. That is how we go for Christ. That is how we go in pursuit after God, is by going through the Spirit. And last time we shared, I talked to you about the three aspects. And what we are going to talk about, going through the Spirit, is all about empowerment. And what we talked about last time were empowerment expectations. Empowerment expectations. When we talk about going through the Spirit, there are some expectations of empowerment that come alive. And we talked about three areas of the moving of the Spirit in our life last time we gathered together. And those three areas were, we find about the Spirit, we find the fruit of the Spirit that is alive in the lives of the believers. We find the gifts of the Spirit that are in operation among the body. And we found the offices of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit. And that's that fivefold ministry that God has placed in the leadership role of the Spirit, as the Spirit leads us. And so we kind of broke that down and talked about that a little bit last week. So I'm not going to go back there. We're going to just dive on in to these empowerment expectations of when we go through the Spirit. What are the expectations? What are the empowerment expectations? What can we expect for the Spirit to do in our lives and to lead and direct us? And we're going to find this in the Word. We're going to be just walking through the Word in some various places. But let's start off in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, where he says, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." He's talking to his disciples. He's commissioning them in Luke's gospel. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Tarry there until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. This is how Luke ends his gospel. For those of you that may not be aware, but then Luke picks up the next aspect of his writing in the book of Acts. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, and he picks up the story in the book of Acts, and he begins with their journey as they are waiting and tarrying in Jerusalem in that upper room. And then in Acts 2, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are endued with power from on high. And there are reasons why they are filled with the Spirit. There are empowerment expectations. As a Spirit-filled believer, as a Spirit-filled church, as a Spirit-filled family, there are expectations of the Spirit's empowerment that should be alive in our lives. There are happenings that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives that we should be seeing and experiencing. Luke tells him that as he's leaving out of the book of Luke, he recounts the words of Jesus to the disciples, and he said, "You will be endued." That word literally means you will be clothed with. It will be like putting on a garment. You will be covered with. You not only will you be filled within, but you will be endued with power. So there is an enablement that comes with the Spirit of God. And it all comes through Christ and His finished work and His sacrifice. But it is the Holy Spirit that enables and empowers us to walk out that life of Christ. Christ brings us to life, but the Spirit clothes us with the power to walk in that life. And there are some enablements that we are going to begin to look at tonight. And so let's just begin to walk through these. We'll see how far we make it in these. And however far we make it, that's where we're going to stop for tonight. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. And you're going to be doing a little bit of turning in your Bibles. So just be prepared for that. Take your Bibles. Turn in your scripture, however you brought your scripture with you tonight, to John chapter 7. And verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. The first empowerment expectation that we are going to encounter tonight, that we should expect for the Spirit to bring into our life, is this. It is the promise of receiving. The first expectation when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit is there is a promise to receive. He is to be received. I want you to hear that. How many know salvation is a gift that we receive? It's not something we earn. Do you understand that? Do you understand you do not earn salvation? Not one of us can earn salvation. We are not good enough. We were not good enough. We never will be good enough. We will never reach a point to where outside of Christ we could ever attain salvation. The only way we are saved is because Christ came in our place, died on behalf of our sins, paid the price as the spotless lamb, shed his blood. The Bible says, if there is no without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And it had to be spotless blood. And so only Christ could come and do that. And outside of him doing that, there is nothing we could do to be reconciled to God. But the gift is the gift of life, the gift of grace that is extended to us, the mercy of God that says, if you will believe, and if you will confess, and if you will receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and receive His sacrifice as your sacrifice for sin before me, and receive Him as your Savior, you receive the gift of everlasting life. Call it salvation. But it's everlasting life. And it's more than just eternity. It is life, and it is life more abundantly. It includes everything. It includes blessing, and it includes healing, and it includes power, and it includes anything to do with life. Joy and strength and peace and faith comes because of salvation. Okay? So it's a gift. It's a gift we receive. But not only is salvation a gift that we receive through Christ, but the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and what we term the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that filling up and that empowering and that clothing of the Spirit is also a gift that is to be received. Okay? Now I want you to follow along, because in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out and he said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Okay, so that's the first call. If you are thirsty, there is a gift of living water. Okay? If you're thirsty, come. If you remember in John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, Samaritan woman. He's talking to her, and he says, draw me some water. And anyway, he talks to her, and he tells her, if you would have understood, I would give you water that you could drink, whereby when you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. And he's talking about life that he's going to give. And so Jesus stands up and he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. That's the gift I bring. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. It doesn't mean the Spirit was not moving. It doesn't mean the Spirit was not drawing. It doesn't mean that the Spirit was not imparting the life of Christ into those that would believe, because it is the Spirit that draws us to Christ, and it is the Spirit of God that imparts that life of Christ to us. But he's talking here about this infilling, this empowering of the Holy Spirit that's going to come after Christ is glorified, and it is a gift. Notice he said, for the Spirit had not yet been given, and they had not yet received, but they would receive. Who would receive? Those who believe in Jesus. So if you are a believer in Jesus, there is an expectation that you will receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when does the reception of the Holy Spirit come? Now let me just kind of break out of this just storyline for just a moment, because we can see a picture in that setting there that Jesus said, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And I believe there's something there that we need to understand, because in the life of a believer, there is an expectation that we will receive the Holy Spirit, but we receive the Holy Spirit after we catch the revelation of the glorified Christ. When Jesus is glorified in our lives, when he is lifted up in our lives, when he is placed in his rightful place in our lives, then the expectation of receiving the Holy Spirit is promised. Amen. There's a powerful promise there. And so I want you to hear that. Now turn with me another place. Turn with me to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20 and verse number 19. Jesus is with his disciples. He's about to send them out. John 20 and verse 19. He's been resurrected from the grave. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. This is John 20 verse 19. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Why? Because Christ is with them. So what was fearful and what was worrisome and what had been become faithless and where they were worried they were next, when Jesus appears, he said, hey, peace be with you. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is with them. So he says, peace be with you. And then in the next verse, he carries on and he says in verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Not only is peace now with you, but peace to you. Amen. You notice the difference there? Peace be with you. And then he says, once they see him and they're glad because they recognize him and he's alive and their Savior's alive, he said, now, peace to you, because I'm giving you something, because as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And so, peace to you, Because now you've got a mission. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. He breathed on them. This was before the day of Pentecost. This was before the outpouring in the upper room. This was preparation moments. This was the beginning moments of the outpouring of the Spirit, because he still yet had not been glorified. He's preparing them. He's giving them his peace. He's telling them, peace is with you. Remember, he said to you, I'm with you always. Lo, I'm with you always. Peace with you. But then he said, peace to you. And peace to you was so that there's something you're going to be doing. So my peace to you. And he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Notice the receiving again. So you receive the gift. It wasn't because they earned it. It was a receiving of the Holy Spirit. There is a promise of receiving to those that are with Christ and those that are going for Christ. Amen. Because he said, as the Father has sent me, I'm also sending you. So the promise is to those who are going for Christ. The promise is for those who have recognized the glorified Christ as their Savior. He is for those who come to Christ and out of their belly is going to flow these rivers of living water. But he also, the Holy Spirit, is the gift for those that are going for Christ. Amen. So when we are Christ followers, when we are going after God and his plan, and when we are walking for Christ and going for Christ, when we are living with him as our Savior, recognizing him as glorified, putting him in his rightful place, ready to receive, ready to expecting to receive whatever he has for us, he gives us the Spirit. That is the gift. Now, I'm just trying to set this up a little bit for you, because that's the first expectation. And that expectation comes with some prerequisites. You have to come to Christ. You have to be thirsty. You have to recognize you have a need. You have to come to Christ to fill that need. You have to allow him to be with you so peace can be with you. You have to be ready to go for him, because peace is going to come to those that are going, because he's going to send us out. You expect to be enclosed with power, endued, covered, filled, ready to go. And so the first expectation for every believer is the promise of receiving the Spirit. I'm taking my time here, because I don't think we capture the necessity of being full and filled with the Holy Spirit near enough. I think because we have made being filled with the Spirit all about the initial evidence, we slide away from the necessity of expecting and the reason why the gift is given. Amen. The initial evidence, we talked about that last week, and it is settled in Scripture. It's there. It's the initial outward evidence, but it's not the only lasting evidence. It's the initial outward evidence that we find in Scripture. But we have made the encounter with the Spirit all about that moment. And the reality is, that's just the initial moment. It's about peace to us, power to us, the expectation that Christ is sending us. We are going for him. Therefore, we must be empowered by his Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ up from the dead. The same mind that was in Jesus is going to dwell in you also. The same works that he did by the Spirit are the same works that you will do, and even in greater measure, because he goes to the Father. Come on, somebody. This is a normal, natural expectation of Bible believers. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not an exception. It's not a quirkiness. It's not an oddity. It's not just for a few that will receive it and be willing to do it. It is the normal expectation of the biblical church. Amen. I'm not trying to bash anyone that doesn't teach this. I'm just simply telling you what the Word tells us. Do you know every book that was written in the New Testament to the churches was written to Spirit-filled churches? The expectation of the church at Corinth, they were a Spirit-filled church. In fact, they were so Spirit-filled that they had to be reined back in a little bit. They were way out there, you know. They kind of got out there on that far side. The church at Ephesus was a Spirit-filled church. We have the occasion where the men from Ephesus were filled with the Holy Spirit. We find the church, the church that we read about was a Spirit-filled church. And that's the normal expectation. So that needs to become our normal expectation as believers, as followers of Christ, as those that are passionate for the plan of God, pursuing God, as those that are going for Christ to speak on His behalf. Our expectation should be to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just we just lay that there, because that's biblical truth. Okay, so that's the start off point. Now, that's going to look different in all of our lives. We have the experience of how people were filled in the book of Acts. But then after that experience, it looks different in each church and in each individual. Some are react one way and others react other ways. But it's all because the Spirit now is leading and directing and empowering believers. So I'm just trying to tell you this so that you never back away from the concept that the empowerment expectation of your life is that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, receive the gift of His Spirit. How many see that in the Word? It's what I just read to you and told you. So Jesus breathes on them and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. It was not going to be fulfilled until after He was glorified, but there was preparation. There was expectation. In Luke, He said, tarry until. There is expectation. This is the problem in the church today. We have little expectation. We come to church with little to no expectation. We go about our week with little to no expectation of the Spirit. And the Spirit comes when we expect. Come on now. It comes suddenly. I didn't say He comes at how we expect Him to come. But He comes upon people that are expecting. Paul, when he said to them, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit, those men from Ephesus, since you believed? And they said, we don't even know what you're talking about. And he said, well, how were you baptized? They said, John's baptism, unto repentance. And Jesus said, well, or Paul said, well, I'm going to baptize you now in the name of Christ in the Holy Spirit. No, he laid his hands on them and they were filled with the Spirit. But they expected, they wanted what he was talking about. Come on, church. I'm trying to tell you, we've got to come back to the place of expectation. If we're going to go for Christ properly, we've got to come from a place of expectation of the Spirit leading our lives. Amen. Okay? The second expectation, empowerment expectation that we find, let's look in John chapter 16. John 16, beginning at verse number 5. Here's what the next expectation I'm going to talk to you about, the expectation of empowerment, is that we then, not only is there the promise of receiving, but then that we would be led by the Spirit, and that the Spirit would speak truth in darkness. Okay, so let's read this. John 16 and verse 5. But now Jesus said, I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Do you see the expectation? I will send him to you. That's the expectation. Okay? And when he has come, here's what we should expect him to do. He will convict the world of sin. Not excuse the world of sin. Not rationalize a world full of sin. Not minimize the sin of mankind. He will convict the world of sin. Do you know why the world fights so hard against the truth of the word enlightened by the Spirit? Why they don't want to hear it? Because it's a convicting work. They don't want to be told that the way they want to live is not a godly way to live. It's not a right way to live. The world doesn't want to hear that. In fact, we see the picture of it greatly when Stephen was stoned. You remember the story? He's preaching the gospel to them, and those that were supposed to be religious, they were so filled with sin and anger that the Bible says they stopped up their ears. They gritted their teeth. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They picked up rocks and stoned him because they did not want to hear the truth of the man filled with the Holy Spirit. It's what the Word says. He, being full of the Holy Spirit, proclaimed to them the truth. Because when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. That's the expectation. When conviction is no longer in the church, we have lost the expectation of the empowerment of the Spirit to do what he came to do. If there is sin in your life, the Spirit will convict you of that. Amen. How many of you good Christian people have ever had the Spirit of God convict you of sin wrong in your life, things that you needed to deal with? Come on now. Now, here's what we call it nowadays. See, the Spirit starts convicting people now and they start quoting scriptures. Well, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He doesn't come to condemn us, but he will convict. He will show you a better way. He will convict and show you that was not the right way, but let me show you the right way. Now watch this. Let's go on in the scripture and let me just bring this to you. He said, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now notice this. Here's the work of the Spirit. We're talking about empowerment, expectations. We should expect to receive. And when we receive the Spirit, there should be a convicting work that's going on. And what is the convicting work? The convincing work, the settling work. It's convicting the world of sin. And it is, and also of righteousness. So there's the wrong, there's the right, and then there's judgment. Amen. There's wrong, there's right, and then there's judgment with what you do with that. See, this is what the Spirit will do. He will always call people to answer for the wrong and the right, because judgment hangs in the balance. And the judgment is ceased for those who will accept Christ. And we become the righteousness of God in Christ. And the Spirit quickens that in us. The Spirit of God confirms that in us. You literally could say he convicts the world of sin and he confirms righteousness. Amen. And causes us to consider judgment. To make the right call, the right decision based from the Father. Now let's keep going a little bit, because this is what he does. He will convict, he will, and have righteousness and judgment of sin because they do not believe in me. So he's going to show people that don't believe in him, that's not right. Yes, he's gonna convict unbelief. That's what he's going to do. So, and let me tell you this. Can I just be blunt enough with you to tell you this? In the life of your pastor, do you know there are still moments and times that the Holy Spirit convicts me of unbelief? I believe in Jesus as my Savior. But there are aspects, things that will happen in my life. And if I'm not careful, unbelief will creep in. And doubt will creep in. And fear will creep in. But it is the Spirit. And my expectation of the empowerment of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. Sometimes he uses the voice of my wife. And he will convict me of that unbelief. Who are you going to believe? Whose report will you believe? Well, are you just going to wallow in that? That's the Spirit's working. There's some unbelief he's dealing with. When I try to take the reins. Come on now. When I try to legalistically prove how good I am to God, the Spirit will convict me because that's unbelief in his finished work. Amen. And so, of the world, because they do not believe in me, it's what he said, of sin, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So, he's going to come and he's going to reveal righteousness because Christ has now gone to the Father and it is the Spirit that now reveals righteousness within the believers. He shows the world righteousness, and how does he do that? In the life of believers. He shows that sin resides in unbelief, but he shows righteousness thrives in belief in Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on now. This is the expectation when he comes, okay, as he's coming into our life. And then he says in verse 11, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So why would you follow him? Why would you agree with the enemy, the ruler of this world at this time? Why would you agree with him? Why would you go to judgment with him when you can walk with the Spirit in the righteousness of Christ and you can walk in victory? Amen. So choose. Choose to walk with him. And then he says in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Amen? For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever the Spirit says, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will prepare you. Okay? Let's keep going, George. He will glorify me, Christ, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. And verse 15, all things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the expectation that as the Spirit comes and empowers us is that we will be led by the Spirit. He will speak truth in darkness and we will become the mouthpiece of Christ as he empowers us. Amen. That's an expectation of the coming of the Spirit. See, we should expect that's the empowerment. It's not in us, it's in him. And he can show us what's to come. He can prepare us. He can speak through us about things that are going to come and are going to happen and preparation. And we should not, let me say this to you, as Spirit-filled people, we should not always be reactive. If we are full of the Spirit, we should be proactive. If we walk in the Spirit, we can be proactive. Amen. So that's number two. So there's the empowerment expectations is the promise of receiving. It is when we receive, we will be led by the Spirit. And then we will speak truth in darkness. He will speak through us. And we will be a picture of truth in darkness because we're empowered by the Spirit. Okay, let's keep going. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Yes, go right ahead. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yes. It is. It's disapproval of this. That unbelief is, it's disapproved. It's limiting you. It's holding back what Christ wants to do through you. So the Spirit convicts that. Christ is the Redeemer of man. And the Holy Spirit convicts men of that, of sin. And sin is looking elsewhere other than Christ. That's missing the mark. That's what sin is. Jesus came and we look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We walk with Him. There is no other way. And then the Holy Spirit guides us. He keeps us going down the right path. Amen. That's good. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I'm thankful for guide rails. I'm thankful for well-marked lanes. Amen. I don't see them as hindrances. When I'm driving down the road and there is a yellow line and I'm on this side of the yellow line, I'm thankful the yellow line is there to tell the people coming the other way that that's their lane and this is my lane. Right? Then I'm not the whole time saying, well, I don't like this. I'm limited. I should be able to drive on whichever side I want to drive on. No, I'm thankful for some guidance. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And when we get out of the lane, out of the right direction, He convicts us. He says, no, danger ahead, right? Get back in your lane, right? Okay, so that's His word. And so we expect that. Now, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, here's what we're going to learn. The empowerment expectation that we're going to learn here, and we'll stop after this one, is that when He comes, we will become effective witnesses of Christ and witnesses of new life. Now watch this. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from me, because remember we already read it. He told them He was coming. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He had already breathed on them, but now it's getting closer. Expectation. Okay, I've already breathed on you. I already told you to receive. I already told you what He's going to do when He comes. I'm building expectation in you. It's good for you if I go. It's better for you if I go. The Comforter is going to come. There's expectation. Now He's telling them, not many days. This birth moment is getting closer. Amazing things are about to happen. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom? And He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall, say shall, be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall be witnesses to Me. When the Spirit comes upon you, you will become an effective witness to Christ. This is who He is. This is Christ. This is what He has said. The Spirit will enable you because He's doing the things that we read about in John chapter 16. But look in Acts 2. Verse 1, I won't read it all, but when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all gathered in that upper room, in one place, in one accord. All of a sudden, there was a sound like as of a mighty rushing wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues appeared to them like as of fire and rested upon each of their heads. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the people were standing outside that had gathered around Jerusalem. And they heard in their own languages the Spirit expressively saying through the followers now, the magnifying, glorifying the Father, glorifying Christ before them. They said, these men are drunk. And Peter stood up, with the others and said, "We are not drunk as you suppose, because it's only morning time. It's not time to be drunk. But this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." Amen. And he preached the gospel to them, and he revealed to them this new power and this new life, and they were saved that day. Thousands came to Christ that day. So not only, hear me, not only does the Spirit come to make us effective witnesses to Christ, to show people who Christ is, but he comes to make us witnesses of a new life in Christ. Amen. That's empowerment expectations. When we talk about going through the Spirit, that's what we talk about. We are talking about, when we talk about when we go on this go and we go after God in pursuit and we go for Christ in representation and we go through the Spirit, that means we go with expectations that the promise of receiving is upon men. That we can be and they can be led by the Spirit and they can speak truth. The Spirit can speak truth into darkness. And that then we can be witnesses of and for Christ and His saving power. And our lives can be witnesses of a new way of living. Because the Spirit is empowering us. Amen. See, this is how we should be living as Spirit-filled believers. When people see us, they should see a new way to live. A way that is unlike the world. I'm sorry, but that's just how it is. A Christian life should be a life that is foreign to a person that's not a Christ follower. Because then the Spirit can draw them. If we live just like the world, what's He drawing them to? Nothing. And there's nothing to draw them to. There's no distinction. And the Spirit comes to make distinctions. You remember when I read to you in John chapter 16, the distinctions? He will convict of sin. He will reveal righteousness. The distinctions there. The Spirit is a spirit of making a distinction. And so in the life of a believer, the empowerment expectation in the life of a believer filled with the Spirit is that there will be a difference. And it's not, I'm not talking about a difference in the clothing we wear. Although, let me stop right there for just a second. Because let me just say, in our culture today, there are clothing articles that we need not to wear. And there are clothing articles that we need to wear. Amen. Amen. But I'm not here to, you know, we're not getting on the soapbox. That's where the Bible talks about modesty. Amen. Ooh, that'll open up a can of worms in our world today, huh? We don't hear messages like that much anymore, do we? But I want to tell you, the Bible says we should be modest. We should not be drawing attention to our flesh. We should be drawing attention to Christ. Pastor, you can't tell me what to wear. No, but is it drawing attention to you, or is it drawing attention to the Christ in you? And if it's only drawing attention to you, then you probably ought to have something else on. Amen. Well, can y'all say a hearty amen? Amen. The Spirit draws distinctions. Peter stood up and he said, "We're not drunk like you think. We are full of the Spirit." There's a difference being made. Do you remember? In Ephesians, Paul's going to write, and he's going to say, "Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." You remember him saying that? Do you know Peter kind of said the same thing just there. He said, "We are not drunk like you think we are, but we are filled with the Spirit." The distinction was there. Let me ask you the question, and I'll close. Is the distinction there in our lives? That when we walk into Walmart, that there is something different in our lives than in the lives of unbelievers. And it's not going to be the way we look. It's not really going to be the way we talk. And I'm not, you know, don't go to Walmart and just speak only King James English. And people think you're nuts. It's not those things. The difference is who's residing in you and whose power are you walking in. There should be an expectation of empowerment. Quit giving yourself the okay to live below the salvation that Christ purchased for you. Because the Spirit of God did not give you that okay. Amen. That's powerful. Quit excusing your living below the salvation Christ purchased for you and expects to live through you, because the Spirit of God didn't give you that okay. The Spirit of God calls you to distinction. The Spirit of God points you to the life of Christ. The Spirit of God leads you to the words, the things that are His, and He calls you to live that life and to live differently. So we're only beginning in the journey here. I mean, we're gonna talk about the miracle healing power that our expectations of the Holy Spirit. We're gonna talk about the prophetic. Do you know a part of the working of the Holy Spirit deals with the helping of others that are in need? Do you know that is an expectation of empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be in service to those that are in need? We're going to talk about that. But these are just the beginning places. So there's a promise of receiving. Expect to be led by the Spirit to speak truth in darkness as He speaks into you, and then you speak that word as well, to be a witness of Christ and to be a witness of what new life looks like. Go through Spirit. Stand to your feet with me tonight. How many believe the Holy Spirit being given to us and the gift of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and upon us is amazing? I want you to think about this. Jesus said it was better for us that He would go to the Father so that the Spirit would come and lead us to represent Him. Think about that. That alone should build expectation in us. It would have been great to walk with Jesus. How many of you would love to be one of those disciples? I'm talking about the first disciples. I'm talking about, you know, James and John and Peter and those guys. It'd be awesome to walk with Jesus. But you know what Jesus said? It's better to be filled with His Spirit. That ought to build some expectation. I mean, when we come together, there ought to be some expectation among us. What does the Spirit want to do? I want to challenge you when you come Sunday, and every time we gather thereafter, I want you to come with the expectation of, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do through me today? What do you want to reveal? What do you want to show us about Christ today? What way of living you want to show us? What do you want to deal with my life about? I want to tell you, if you start living in expectation of the empowerment of the Spirit, your life will be on a trajectory like you've never imagined before. And you'll walk in the blessings of God. Amen.